Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Just one of those series that, you know, on the exterior, everyone's going to be, oh, pff, Brewers weren't ready for the moment. Oh, pff, Phillies are really darn good, which they are. But if you watched all three of those series, or all three of those games in that series, you know that it's in there. There's no need to panic. Brewers get swept by the Phillies. They fall 2-0 today. The Phillies' only runs came on one swing, a two-run home run from Nick Castellanos in the fifth. That was it. And very similar to last two nights, you really only had one or two opportunities the entire game. If you didn't cash in, the pitching was going to keep you down. I'm Dominic Cotroneo, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us here. Craig Kishon is with us as well. I want to break this down into segments, obviously, with you, Craig, but I think this first segment should be all about the reasons that we liked, didn't liked, and why I'm... Look, if you want to jump off the bandwagon now, I mean, sure, if you want. I mean, I think it's a ridiculous call, but the Brewers hung in there with the best team by record in the National League. They had the tying run at the plate in all three games in the ninth inning. And look, they didn't execute. They went 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position, and both of those hits didn't produce a run. They had opportunities. And so did the Phillies. The Phillies could have hung more on the board, and they didn't either. I look at this as saying, you know what? Just a little more execution, which has been the story all year when it comes to runner on third and less than two outs. We could be talking about a very different series here.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line for this, to me, for this entire three-game series is the Brewers' offense just couldn't muster anything. And I think when you repeat that the second game in the series and then again this afternoon, I think if you're a fan, that frustration just builds. Can you imagine being a player? There has to be a certain level of that frustration as well. So, the offense went up against really good pitching. The Brewers knew that going into this series. And I try to look at circumstances like this, especially early in June, and just say there are times where you're going to face a team when they're hot. There are times you're going to face a team when they're down. And it could have been a combination here. You know, the Brewers certainly had their way last week at home. And, maybe just coming off of that, you're at Philly. They're like unstoppable in their own ballpark here right now. We all know their record over the last, 25, 26 games. They've only lost three. I mean, that is stunning. So, you know, everything going their way for Philly here right now. So, yeah, lots to break down. But I'm disappointed because they got swept. I think probably the greatest point of disappointment. So I thought the pitching was stellar. I wasn't sure it could hang in there the way they did against that Philly offense, but they certainly did. So, you know, great for them, man. Hopefully that continues.
Yeah, and not only did you get swept, you only gave up 7 runs in the whole series against one of the best offenses in the game. I mean, in their ballpark, you should be thrilled with that. If you're Chris Hook, if you're Jim Henderson, if you're Walker McKibben, you're like, well, you know, we did our job kind of thing, right? And to me, the pitching did its job, including Ashby with his 5 walks today. We'll break that down a little bit later. Including yesterday with all the chaos with the bullpen. And I know Peguero gave up the homer. That wasn't a bad pitch. I don't know how Bohm got to that ball. Or Pyomps getting put in the impossible situation. Hey, man on second, nobody out. Somehow keep it a zero. And then they did the walk and then the double ball game. But, like, this was not the pitching's fault. And quite frankly, coming into this series, I was more worried about the pitching than I was the offense, because you knew it was going to be an opener. You knew they were going to use Koenig. And Bryce Wilson's been really good and kind of mess sometimes. And he was pretty darn good. And then Colin Ray, they started swinging, getting some louder contact against him. They pulled him, in my opinion, a little early, but I understood why. And then today, despite Aaron Ashby getting 5 walks, he just made really one major mistake. You take it every time. The bullpen held them down for the final three innings. This was a very well-executed game for two-thirds of the facets of the game, the pitching and the defense side, just not the offense.
Right, and unfortunately, that was the theme going along. So I think, you know, when I look at this, and I know we're shooting some stuff out there just thought-wise, and try to vent here a little bit. I mean, I think right now I just look at, you know, the Brewers being a very good team here. We all understand that. They built up a nice lead in first place in their division. They played, you know, really good baseball for most of the season here up till now here in early June. And I think the Phillies, if you just measure this thing up right now, they have the best record in the National League. I think they have veteran and superior hitting right now. I think they have veteran and superior hitting, veteran and superior pitching compared to what Milwaukee's got going on here right now. Maybe a little more veteran-like and maybe a little less rookie-like, maybe a little less I'm filling in for somebody because they're injured. You know, that's what the Brewers are going through here right now. So to lose, you know, this series giving up seven runs, I have been racking my brain trying to figure out when the last time I saw something like this happen, especially when the Brewers were as competitive as they have been and the pitching has been somehow as good as they have been considering the circumstances so far this season. I don't know. It's hard, Dom, to say you get swept and try to be happy about it, but you certainly have to remain positive and know that these three games and this series is now in the past. It's time to move on to Detroit. And quite honestly, if I'm any of those Brewer players here right now, I can't wait to meet up with Philly again and prove that they're better than what they showed here, especially with their bats.
The Phillies had a stretch where they only scored six runs in a three-game stretch. They lost all three of those games. That was between two series, at Colorado and at San Francisco. Now, one paradise for hitters and one not so much of a paradise for hitters. Whereas here, they give up seven runs in the whole series due to the Brewers to the Phillies. That's the fewest they've scored in an entire series against a single opponent, which is certainly impressive. And you look at it, you held Harper mostly quiet. The only, you know, powerful extra base hit was the Bohm game time homer yesterday. Harper was pretty quiet. Stott was pretty quiet. And I know Turner's hurt right now, but hey, the Brewers have had injuries all season too. But I'm looking at this like you said. Man, can't wait to see those guys again because I think it's going to be a great matchup. But on the Brewers side of things, I'm sitting here saying, man, I'm looking at the three guys, the pillars right in the middle, Yelich, Contreras, Adames. Now, Contreras got two hits today, which was nice. They went 5-for-35 this series. If I told you that, regardless of what the pitching staff does, if I told you the Brewers' three main guys are going to go 5-for-35, you're like, oh, geez, they got blown out, huh? And they were in every single game. That's something to not sniff at here as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Quite honestly, just sitting back and watching these games unfold today and keeping track of things, in all honesty, Dom, I don't know how you felt in this entire series, but I really, knowing how good these two teams are right now, I really felt as though I was watching a playoff game every single game that unfolded here. I mean, it was low scoring. That's how playoff games are. Dominant pitching. That's how playoff games are. You get that one timely hit one way or the other. That's how playoff games are. That's what kind of gets me juiced up a little bit for the next time these two teams meet. And the fact that the Brewers, yes, this was a big test, and it was on the road. And yes, the offense got shut down. But it is a test one way or the other. And hopefully there's something to learn out of this. And they're certainly not down and out. That's for sure. There's a lot left here, and you know, just from a pure baseball standpoint, I felt as though if some of the young guys need to know what the playoffs are like, this is what the playoffs are like.
Amen to that. That's a perfect way to put it. And a couple of texts agree with you as well. This one from Cameron down in Missouri. We've heard the term measuring stick for this series. I think we learned that our pitching will be fine. holding them to seven runs. I think clean up the situational hitting and the hitting in high leverage spots. No need for the panic button at all, but sweeps will always cause reactions from fans. This one coming in from Justin in Sun Prairie. The Brewers, seven runs in three games to the Phillies. Everything is fine. Tom and Pewaukee, frustrating series to say the least, couldn't buy a ball in the gap. No breaks against a super team. Can't even say we played poorly. Just the Phillies are absurd top to bottom. I agree with all of those entirely. A few more to read, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. One reminder that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, and they're offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. Take a break. Come back with more with Craig. Let's talk about Aaron Ashby. That's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall to the Phillies. They get swept. Today's final was 2-0 on a Nick Castellanos two-run homer from Aaron Ashby. Let's dive into Aaron's start here, as this was, you know, a contentious topic today in the Brewers social media landscape, that it was announced that he was recalled from AAA in Nashville, making his second start of the season. The first one did not go his way, giving up 8 runs, only 4 of them earned against the Reds. Ton of ground balls in that game. We don't need to rehash that one. But here he is. He's back, starting against a high-flying offense, having command issues in the minor leagues still. And quite frankly, today, I know he had 5 walks. I think there are only 2 of them that I'm really mad at with him, maybe 3 of them. The other ones, I mean, 2 of them were to Bryce Harper. I'm not going to overreact to that. But the biggest thing that jumped out to me today about Aaron Ashby, Craig, is all the ground balls. 9 of the 13 balls in play were against Ashby were ground balls. He's replaced the swing and miss that he had in maybe 2022 with a lot more weak contact, with ground balls, using the changeup well. All in all, if you would have told me Aaron Ashby was going to go 5 innings, 2 runs, no further details, I'm like, sign me up. And that's exactly what happened. Obviously, it was the Brewers offense that gave him the loss today.
Well, I wasn't even sure like how long he would pitch in this, if they were really going to use him as an opener or not. At least part of the speculation last night when we were doing the post-game showdown, you know, Greg and I just weren't sure what the full game plan was going to be, you know, once this game started with him on the mound. So the fact that there were some options out there, and the fact that, you know, option B, or maybe it was option A, is just to have him pitch as long as he can. Obviously that was the case here based on the roster moves they made before the game. He surprised the you-know-what out of me, to be honest with you, because I know you talked about the command issues. When that goes on the minor league level, how in the world do you turn that around on the major league level? But the bottom line is, you know, he only gave up 2 hits. 1 was a home run, yes, but the 5 walks, you know, the walks are going to be his nemesis for a while. But I really feel like he is going through a process here right now where he's trying to rediscover himself, you know, from struggles, from the contract he got, you know, several years ago. The struggles after that, the injuries that he has gone through, and now trying to prove himself on the minor league level just to get a chance to come back up here. You know, it's been, you know, more than 2 months. So I don't think that I would have a problem putting him back out there for another start to see if he can duplicate or, you know, come pretty close to what he did here today. As you mentioned, he's going up against some really tough hitters. So I was pleasantly surprised what I saw out there. Sometimes sometimes pitchers put guys on, you know, via the walk, and they figure out a way to get through it. And I thought for the most part, he did a really nice job.
Yeah. And I also want to take a moment here with that contract. Glad you brought it up. Very a Freddy Peralta-esque deal for Aaron Ashby, right? Where you buy him out a little bit earlier. Maybe it's a lower end money value on the front end and higher end if the team so chooses at the end of the deal. just to maybe be savvy. You never turn down your first fortune. It's really paid off, obviously, for Ashby, given how injured he's been the last few years. But I also want to take a moment here. Like, remember, Freddie was on the Colorado Springs Milwaukee shuttle for 2 years there, and then he got hurt a little bit there in 19 coming out of spring training. He had the joint injury, then he came back, and he got optioned. It's just like back and forth, right? When Freddie signed that, people were like, what? Like, they were all confused, right? And just the revisionist history of, I know it was the juice ball in 2019. Freddie did not have a good 2019. Injury's part of that. Hey, Aaron Ashby has had a major shoulder surgery. He had to miss an entire season of baseball. The dude's on his way back from that. If you want to already bail out on that, I'll take all of that stock from you, because the Brewers have a reputation of developing pitching, okay? They know what they're doing. This is a homegrown kid. They know him better than any other organization. If anybody's going to get him right, it's Ashby. And quite frankly, I am so excited, assuming he gets through the year healthy, for him next spring training, because it would be hopefully a healthy full season. That's a big check to hit. And a healthy offseason, another check to hit. So that when he arrives next spring training, that could be the guy that he's now got a full year of this new shoulder under his belt to understand who he is. And today was a massive step forward of understanding what this new repertoire is like.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree 100% with that. And here, look, the bottom line is, you know, a lot of the things that you mentioned, it takes time for pitchers to develop. And that's not even if they're injured. But if they are, that just adds, you know, a major wrinkle into how they're going to develop as a player. And he's still young. He's still got a lot out ahead of him. And I really think that he's going to get there. I really do. I mean, look, I'm not in those rooms. I'm not in the evaluation process. I don't exactly see all the things the Brewers see with certain pitchers. But they believed enough of this guy to make sure that he was going to be a Brewer for as long as he possibly could and develop during those years. And you do have setbacks. Sometimes they're just simply on the mound. And then we all know about the injury history with him as well. And now he's trying to make a comeback. And sometimes comebacks take 2 full seasons to do. So, you know, cross your fingers for this guy, because I think if he does straighten things out and does get back on track, he's going to do some big things for this team, potentially in 2024, who knows? But hopefully, you know, like you mentioned, Dom, at least by 2025.
Well, if I'm bald here, so I'm splitting hairs here for a second, though, but I'm bald, but so take that with a grain of salt. The two things that really jump out to me today about Ashby that are easy to clean up, and I'm not mad about the walks to Bryce Harper, I'm not mad at the home run even to Castellanos, quite frankly. It's walks to the 8-hitter Garrett Stubbs when you're ahead 0-2 and then falling behind and walking him, and then walking him again on 4 pitches to lead off the 8th inning, and then walking Christian Pache after having him ahead 0-2. Those are 2 at-bats where he was completely non-competitive, and that could be a little bit of rust. That could be a little bit of not trusting his stuff, because, like, I mean, in my sense, just from my eye, Craig, it looked like he only trusted the changeup. He wasn't trusting the sinker in the zone. He was getting a few sliders over, but then he'd bounce a couple. He's like, dude, it's good enough. You can use it. The only pitch he trusted was the changeup, and I think he went back to it too late, and then maybe one time too many against Castellanos, because that was actually a pitch, in my opinion, wasn't terrible. But when you look at it, it was his hardest changeup of the day, meaning he was really making emphasis, I got to make a perfect pitch here. He threw it hard. It held its line. It was a little flatter than usual. Castellanos goes yard. So you don't put yourself in that situation, right? If you don't walk the 8-9 hitters, you got to stay sharp those last 2 hitters of the order.
Yeah, that was frustrating to watch. There's no question about that. And, you know, it, as far as trusting your stuff, that this is, again, this is just part of, you know, the process of where he is here right now. And this was only his second major league game here this season. And look how far apart they've been. You're talking early April to now. So whatever he has been working on in the minor leagues, I'm guessing it's been at a slower pace than maybe he would if he was making some adjustments up here on this level. So, you know, you're right, Dom. You know, he's got opportunities to turn some things around, and he's got to just start believing in himself a little bit more. And we all know this. We've done enough of these shows. We've followed enough of these games. There's a different trust level, and there's a different level of confidence in the majors than there is anywhere else. You got to build your way up to get here. But once you're here, you have to establish yourself now as a major leaguer and be confident and be aggressive and have your ego and go after it. And he's just not there yet. Will he get there? Hopefully he will. He certainly has the potential. And I'm telling you, there were spots today where he flashed that potential. Now he's just got to gain from that.
We'll do the situational hitting in the next segment, but real quick on the pitching staff, on a note here, the fact that Robert Gasser is going on the injured list, Jacob Junis had a solid first rehab outing down in Nashville, still waiting on DL Hall, JB Bukauskas is getting ready to go on a rehab assignment. Reinforcements are coming, especially in the form of Junis. I mean, it's nothing new with this team, right? Tobias Myers is back in the big leagues. He's probably going to start on Friday after the off day. I mean, the story of this team continues to be how deep this pitching staff has had to go into the well to figure out who can stay in the big leagues. And now everybody kind of holds their breath as the opinion comes in on Gasser's flexor strain, which, you know, if you're into baseball and you've really been following, flexor strains tend to lead to another thing. So, man, I'm just sick of having to say next man up, but it's the reality the Brewers are facing what makes their record so impressive right now.
Well, it does. I mean, the record is impressive. Can they sustain this? I think that's probably the most often asked question to me when I'm around Brewer fans. I'm sure it's you know, the same for you, Dom. Can they sustain this? I don't know if championship level teams can sustain something like this. But they obviously at this point they need to solidify what's happening with their staff. So I said this last night with Greg on the show, Dom. You know, they're going to have to reach a certain point now that we're at the beginning stages of June and this part of the season where, you know, the Brewers are simply going to have to say, do we go like this the rest of the season and just hope that these guys are going to be able to come back and pitch well and take risk of more injuries like Gasser's most recent injury here and DL Hall setback? You know, those things are incredibly disappointing, but can you keep going like that and just try to, you know, next man up it? Or do you say, you know what, we need to find somebody that's going to, you know, anchor our pitching staff here right now or be a second anchor and go for it before the trade deadline? I'm not sure, but we're getting closer to those decisions. You and I don't have to make those, but I'm telling you, if you're going to compete, you got to make those decisions, and they're starting to come up.
That's going to be in my Brewers Weekly tomorrow night, Thursday night, 8 p.m. on WTMJ. All right, before I let you go, we're going to talk situational hitting. That's next, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Spoiler alert, it's not pretty. Brewers fall 2-0 to the Phillies. They get swept. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home all year long with Cider. Is your AC unit more than 10 years old? Through June 15th, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a new unit. Visit Cider, SEIDER.com. to schedule an appointment today. He's Craig Kishon. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let's have the hard conversation here, Craig, the offense. And the Phillies pitching staff is good. The Brewers probably saw the A lineup, you know, aside from Ranger Suarez. They saw Wheeler. They saw Nola. They saw Alvarado. They saw Hoffman. I mean, they got the gauntlet today, and they were in it until the very last batter of all three games. What I still take away, though, is the Brewers continue to make outs at home. That's 12 now on the season. They struggle with that guy on third base and less than two outs. They're in the bottom five in the league in their success rate of scoring with a runner on third in less than two outs. And it's not like you can coach that aside from saying, hey, read the situation, elevate the baseball. But look, if it was that easy, it would have already been fixed by now. But they feel pretty snake bitten in something like this.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of layers to this. And, you know, part of it is the hitting. Can you put the ball in play in the outfield and not the infield? And I said this on last night's show, too, because what are we looking at now in the conclusion of this series? Whatever the runners in scoring position was 0 for anybody scoring, right, in this three-game series, if I'm not mistaken. So whatever few hits they had with runners in scoring position, I don't think scored a run. So, but the bottom line is, you know, a couple of things that I look at, too, Dom, is enough young guys on your team, enough young guys in that lineup. And you also have enough veteran guys in that lineup too. And I think, you know, with the game on the line, like last night late, you know, Rhys Hoskins, you know, taking strike two and then taking strike three, game on the line. Those are like, man, if you're a fan, you're like, come on, man, this is why you're here. You gotta take action. You gotta go for it. Same with Willy Adames finishing the game out, tying run at the plate. I know it was a tough at bat. I know I'm probably being a little hard on these guys, but I'm not going to be hard on the young guys in this situation. But the bottom line is, it's almost like a cut in half 50-50 thing. Who's ever at the plate at the time sometimes is fully responsible for trying to drive in a single run somehow. And it's just been incredibly difficult for this team to do. Because they're not the Phillies team. They're not a veteran team. They're not the Dodgers right now. They're not a veteran team. They're not the Yankees right now. They're not a veteran team. So, you know, they're unfortunately at this point taking their lumps. And I think it was showcased a lot here in this series. And I think it was, to be honest with you, it was showcased a lot during the homestand as well. They just happened to be playing, you know, two bad teams that they were able to take advantage of at the time.
Yeah, this text from the 510 really kind of goes to what you're talking about here, Craig. This one out in the Bay Area. Don't want to put too much shade on the Crew this series, but pitching was great. Runners in scoring position as frustrating as ever. The Phillies are just incredibly good right now. Does this parallel in any way to the Crew's playoff struggles since 2019? They're going to have to compete against teams like this for any hope at a pennant. That's a great point. And you mentioned it earlier. It felt like a playoff series. And you've heard Pat Murphy talk about it all season long, right? Hey, I want these raucous environments early for this team to see what they're made of. Rhys talked about it leading up, not so much about his return to Philly, but for the atmosphere. 40,000 people all three games. It was electric. It felt like a playoff series in June. And quite frankly, I want these series in June. I want to see what you're made of against a team that was one win away from a World Series last year. They were one win away from going to the Fall Classic for a second consecutive year. People act like the Phillies aren't just, oh, wow, well, they're having a good run. No, this team had a chance to go to back-to-back pennants one game away from it. The Diamondbacks shocked them in Game 7. This is an elite team, and you stuck with them once again. You won the series at their place last year. Now you get swept. No big deal. But, hey, there's your taste of the playoffs. Can you make the adjustment and get ready for the next time you have an opportunity like this?
Yeah, and I agree too with you know, Murph saying he wants his team in atmospheres like this. Atmospheres in Miami on that last road trip or recently, those are tough to go through. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go to Boston or you know you go to Philly. They've already played at Wrigley. We know what the atmosphere there is like. Keep it electric. We certainly know what it's like at American Family Field. I thought the crowds last week were huge. I thought the Brewers fed off of that. Quite frankly, when the White Sox came to town, I didn't expect as many fans to be there just because of the state of the team, but they showed up. They were there. So to play in front of the, you know, a grand stage like this, and to compare it to the playoffs is pretty easy to do in a lot of scenarios that Milwaukee has gone through lately. It's just now finding that consistent success. But this is, you know, look, we're still early in June. You know, they're going to get there. They're going to get there. And I really believe you only learn from these things. So I'm in on that for sure.
The Brewers are 36-26. They've lost three in a row. It's tied for their longest losing streak of the year. So keep perspective on all of this. And just to look back last season at game number 62 of the year, the Brewers were 34-28. So the Brewers were actually two games better. And then they went on the really tough stretch. After this is actually the moment when the Brewers kind of lost their way for a week. They had lost six games in a row. They got swept by the A's. They get swept at Minnesota, the walk-off against Devin, all this stuff, right? And then that was their low point of the season. They got down to 500 at 34-34. They weren't 500 the rest of the season. That's how much time there is still left in the season. That's why there is absolutely no reason to panic, overreact. You can be frustrated. Absolutely. Everybody in that dugout's frustrated they got swept by the Phillies because they know they can play better than that. If you got swept when you were playing your best, that's when you start to freak out and be like, ah, man, nope. They did. You can point to a glaring flaw. They failed with runners in scoring position. They failed getting extra bases. That was the story of the series.
Yep, absolutely. There's no doubt. It's you know, to me, if you put it all on a board, it's pretty easy to look at here right now. So, you know, we also know this about this offense, Dom. They're still one of the best offenses in the league, and every offense goes through, you know, slumps like they do. And sometimes you win games 1-0. Sometimes you win 2-1. And they've already had lumps or they've lost 1-0, 2-1, 3-1, plenty of times. So, you know, you just got to hope next time out and hopefully this series in Detroit, you know, they'll get maybe a home run swing going again here, get that ball in the gap and start delivering because they certainly have it.
Yeah, I feel bad for whoever's waiting when the Brewers start getting hot again because
exactly.
They're going to get hot again. They're going to get hot again. Craig Kishon joining us here on WTMJ. We'll talk to you again over the weekend. Enjoy the off day, my friend. And all right, you know, on to Detroit. And they're playing okay baseball. See some old friends out there as well. Appreciate the time as always, Craig.
All right, Dom. See you then.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. I'm way behind on text. I'm way behind on tweets. Let's read all those coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. We're halfway through. We're going to the top of the hour here. My thanks to Craig once again. I kept him a little longer than usual. We're just trying to make it back to 7 o'clock here tonight on WTMJ. A couple of texts here. This one earlier. Any reasoning to Monasterio pinch hitting over Terang in the ninth inning? Because Jose Alvarado absolutely dominates left-handed hitters. Alvarado, opponents coming into tonight were 2-for-28 against lefties. And you saw the pitch that Christian Yelich swung at, right? That cutter looks like a fastball until like the last 10 feet of it. And it's just too late at that point. Lefties are hitting 0-71 against Alvarado this year. Give it a shot, see what happens. Obviously, it didn't work out. The Brewers still got the tying run to the plate with Adames, but did not cash in. Another one here coming out just a moment ago. This one from Tom in South Dakota. Absolutely a playoff atmosphere. Hate to see the sweep, but zero blowouts. I think that's a very important thing because, remember, the Yankees series in April, those were ugly. Those were blowouts. And the Brewers, quite frankly, I don't think they were ready for that moment because it got bad, quickly got worse, and you blink, and the Brewers find themselves just like, oh my gosh, it's down 9-3? Like, what just happened, right? So what I see with the Brewers is a team that is growing, right? You can literally point to series this year that you say, okay, that was a turning point, that was a big learning moment, and things like that, right? So I see one of the first learning moments for the Brewers was being in Baltimore. Winning 2 out of 3 there gave them some mojo, gave them some confidence. I mean, those lineups, the Brewers were still trying to figure out who they were. And remember, that's when Christian Yelich got hurt during that series, right? You had Frelick still high in the order batting fifth. You had Hoskins batting sixth. You had Monasterio playing second. You didn't have Terang really playing every day, you know, fully at that point. Then he had Churio still playing every day. He was starting to slow down, that sort of thing. Then I look at another one for the Brewers that really was important was that Yankee series when they kind of needed to be humbled a little bit, right? Because they had had a tough trip in Pittsburgh, right? They split those two games or those four games with a miracle win from Gary Sanchez. Then they lose two out of three to the Yankees. You're like, oh, okay, all right, little humble pie. But you go down to Wrigley, you lose that series. That was a big moment as well. But you were competing in those games aside from the last one on Cinco de Mayo. The Brewers really haven't had another opportunity maybe since this past week, right? This ramp of the last couple of weeks that we warned you about during Fenway, right? 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this. This was the trying time for the Brewers. Yes, you lose a series to the Houston Astros, but you're not that disappointed. You're disappointed about losing a series to the Marlins. But then you started this roller coaster, right, where the Marlins was a low point, as far, or even go back to Houston, right? You get this ramp, you got high crowds, high energy, loud ballpark. You ramp back down to Miami, no energy, no one in the ballpark. Ramp back up to Fenway and all the extracurriculars that come with that. Then you keep it ramped to come home for the Cubs. And then you have to stay sharp against a team that, you know, quite frankly, as we've said, there's no such thing as a trap series, but it was a trap series against the White Sox. And now stay ramped against the Phillies, right? They've had to be revving the engine to 7,000, 8,000 RPMs the last week plus in a row just because of the environments that they've been playing in. So a young team's going to go through it and figure out what it takes in these sort of moments. So I think all of that makes sense. This one, a good text here, good question. Have these young batters seen these Phillies pitchers before? If they haven't, they're going to be better off the next time they face them. You're absolutely right. Joey Ortiz, though, was one of those guys that's not seen him, and he got a couple of knocks this week. Blake Perkins hasn't seen him. He got a couple of knocks this week. So sometimes innocence is, you know, vital in all this, where it's like you don't have scar tissue built up. Like, oh, I didn't know how nasty that guy was. I still got a hit. No big deal, right? But there is something to being able to see a guy plenty throughout the year. This one, the pitching from the Brewers have been pitching their tails off all season. Amazing results. Now it's time to see if the owner is serious about having a true contender and get a rental starter at the upcoming deadline. I'll talk a little bit deeper about the rental market in tomorrow's Brewers Weekly. It's not as good as you think it is. It's going to take a bigger prospect capital to get one of the guys like a Crochet, like a Lizardo, maybe a Tyler Anderson. I saw Brock on Twitter ask me, what'd you think about Tyler Anderson? All those breakdowns are coming tomorrow. Anderson's owed quite a bit of cash, and I don't know if the performance lines up with that. And a reminder, the Brewers next season, you're looking at a healthy rotation of Freddy Peralta, of Brandon Woodruff, maybe of Aaron Ashby if he can continue to improve the rest of the season, because they're going to need him to pitch for a while. Colin Ray has an option that the Brewers can exercise. Maybe you'll have, we're waiting on Gasser to figure out what exactly his timeline will be, but I imagine Carlos Rodriguez, we might even see Carlos Rodriguez by the end of the month at this rate. Mizorowski, I don't know, he really needs to rein in the command. Chad Patrick, I mean, there are names that are coming, but there are some names out there too that we'll break down a little bit tomorrow. And when it comes to the trade deadline, I still see the Brewers, I know fans hate hearing it, but like it is kind of a trade deadline acquisition to get Devin Williams back, to get Garrett Mitchell back here. Like that's really important. Don't lose sight of that the Brewers have not been still full strength, and it makes everything a little bit deeper and everyone can figure things out from there. So it's a lot of talking for me. A couple of tweets here that I wanted to get to as well. The crew is pitching really good. Ashby impressed today. This one from John. Struggled, but did what he needed to do, except for the one pitch to Castellanos. This one from Bear. Four runners thrown at the plate in three games. It's got to be some kind of record. Well, they lead baseball now and outs at the plate. And then Phillies average over five runs a game. This one from Bart. Brewers held them to 7-3 games. Only scored two themselves, lost all three. On to Detroit. Haven't had a losing streak of more than three all year. Have to win on Friday to keep that true. And I disagree with David here, proving there's a long way to be a true contender. They are a true contender, but they're learning along the way. They're still learning. It's only June. We're not even at the halfway point yet as well. What did William injure in that last play? It looks like he's fine, given he ripped a single the opposite field his last time up. Looked like it's just a cut on the knee. I'm not panicked about that at all. Up next, we're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. There weren't really highlights, but we are going to talk about some other stuff from this game and look around the out-of-town scoreboard. We got another 20 minutes left in the show on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Four. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 2-0. No need to panic. The manager ain't panicking. They get swept. They get an off day tomorrow. Hit the reset button. Take on the Tigers Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Motor City. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say after today's loss.
Yeah, I thought Ash was great. You know, you ask a kid that's coming back from what he did, it's the fact that he's pitching for us again, and he's been through a lot in his rehab, and to pitch five innings against a good offense and not give up, I think, but two hits, and you know, got beat on a changeup down, and I thought he pitched well. Best I've seen him throw, actually. That was encouraging. Had his velo, and that's what we've been waiting for. It's awesome
to see the velo up over 96 and then a bunch of ground ball outs. That's starting to look more like the old Aaron Ashby, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it looks better, to be quite honest with you. I think it's a testament to him that he's done what he's done, so I'm really pleased. Our pen was really good today. We hit some balls very hard, you know, right at people. Adamas's ball that where we got thrown out of the plate, I mean, that's the play. You know, that changes things. But he hit the ball hard. You know, Yelly screamed the ball to second baseman in that inning. Line drive by Gary to the left fielder. Then Perkins hit a ball hard and gapped and got caught. Freelick hit a ball, got caught. Freelick hit two balls hard and got caught. So credit to their defense. They played great defense. Made some plays, a flare that Willie hit, got caught, center and diving catch. You know, credit their defense. You know, they were good in their pitching staff. I mean, gosh, those three starters threw great against us. We didn't score. Thrown out at the plate three times. Bang, bang, all of them. You know what I mean? So it's it turns the game when they're 1 and 2 run games like that.
With Ashby, you know, you talked before the game about command being paramount. You know, certainly getting the ground ball out and seeing the velocity where you wanted it. I'm sure the five walks isn't what you're looking for. Did you see more positive than negative, and
no
see
doubt.
Enough for another
no
start?
Doubt.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, look at the situation we're in. We've used 11 starters in 61 games. I mean, you know, he certainly qualifies as a guy that could fill a role for us with all our nine guys on the IL. So, I think. I think he did. We'll talk about it, but I certainly think that was a great outing in a tough environment, and that's how we get better. That's how we learn. Taking these three on the chin, that could have went every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, like hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
You said before the series, this could be kind of a measuring stick for you, just to see how
you
match up.
You said that.
I mean, you repeated it.
You asked the question. No, I didn't say it. I answered your question.
What did you learn?
You're starting to be more and more like Adam.
I think that's a compliment.
I mean, he's filling in for Adam.
I like Adam. Place to be.
I like Adam too.
Did you? Did you learn anything about your team watching them play this team the last 3 days?
Well, I mean, I think I did. I mean, I learned. I mean, they're without two guys in their lineup that are pretty terrific players. So that's one, and I learned that our guys saw this pitching. That'll be, I know this will be a good thing for our team to go through. Nobody likes losing. Nobody likes losing close ones. No one likes knowing you're right there, and the ball just, you know, you hit balls hard and they get caught. You know, it's time to hit a fly ball and you hit a ground ball. Yeah, you know, but wasn't lack of effort. Like I've said all year, 61 games, I believe. 98% of them, we've been in there till the last pitch and had the winning run on base or tying run on base. And that's pretty special. You know, so, I mean, I continue to learn that our team wants to compete. So, yeah, and I really like them. So, that's it's a fun thing sitting in my seat when you know you just lost three close ones, but you still really like your team. You know, so, measuring stick, I mean, anybody can beat anybody in the big leagues any given day. When you face Nola and he's got the command that he has, or you face Wheeler and he has the stuff that he has. He faced the kid yesterday, Sanchez, and then you got to face their pen, Hoffman's breaking ball, and Alvarado's sinker, and you know, like that's what you got to do. If you can beat that, you can put yourself in a real fun position at the end. So we've got a ways to go, and we got to go. We got an uphill battle. Which I've said it all year. You can't coast uphill. We got to keep grinding uphill.
What did the umpire say about that Frehler strikeout?
No, he didn't say he was wrong. And he just said that his eyes weren't up on the pitcher. Hit 9 seconds or whatever it was supposed to be. So,
just
I think that's unnecessary. You know, the flow of the game was going, and he decided to call it on a technicality, and I get it. That's technically the rule. I thought it was just no reason to do it. But.
Obviously, you talked short term about Ashby and how important it is to have starters right now with what you're in, but with the team having signed him long term, every guy who's coming back, how gratifying was it to see him? Yeah. You know, deliver that the way he did today.
I think the whole organization's got to be ecstatic that he's back throwing the ball better and on his way to being the guy that we always knew he was, you know, and then some. He's got a bunch to learn, but this has got to boost his confidence, being able to hang in there the way he did and compete the way he did. So I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the organization.
Yeah, huge. I mean, remember, the Brewers made an investment in this guy. There's no reason to give up on him, and you shouldn't either. Plenty of time to figure things out. Normally, we'd have the highlights up next. Obviously, there weren't any highlights. He got shut out. But let's take a look around the league real quick, see how it stands for the Brewers as we're through June 5th. Brewers are in first place if you care about that sort of thing in June. But talk to me come All-Star break time. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Hey.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, this is going to be our last segment here as we're getting ready to wrap here in just a few minutes. So next up, it's the Tigers, but not tomorrow, Friday. Tomorrow's an off day. But I've got you for Brewers Weekly tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central right here on WTMJ or under podcast feeds at Brewers All Access. As for the weekend schedule, 5:40 first pitch on Friday. We are on the air at 5:05 with the On Deck Show. That game is TBA against Reese Olson. Yep, former Brewers prospect going against his former club. Saturday, 3:10 first pitch. I've got you covered with Brewers warm-up at 2 o'clock. That one is TBA for the Brewers. Casey Mize, the right-hander for the Tigers. And then on Sunday, a 12:40 first pitch, so a 12:05 airtime. That one is also, you guessed it, TBA for the Brewers against Tarik Skubal, who's been fantastic. The lefty's been arguably the leader in the AL Cy Young race in the way too early portion of the season. So the hands are going to be full with the front line of the Tigers rotation now as well, having to deal with Olson, Mize, and Skubal. As for the rest of baseball today, man, get your popcorn out because the Pirates are about to sweep the Dodgers. At least they have the chance to. They just hung 7 on the board in the bottom of the second inning. And it's 7-2 Pirates right now. Nick Gonzalez hit a 2-run double. Yasmin Grandal hit an RBI single. Brian Reynolds hit a 2-run single. Edward Olivares hit a 2-run single. All this coming off of James Paxton. And oh, by the way, Paul Skeens is pitching. Round 1 for Paul Skeens v. Shohei Ohtani went Skeens' way. He struck him out with 101. Second time around, not the same. Shohei Ohtani just took him deep. So that is a power versus power matchup there. Tried to get him again with 100 miles an hour, and Shohei turned it around. Let me see how hard Shohei hit this ball. Shohei hit it 106 off the bat. He's a freak. He's an absolute freak. It does not make sense, but the Pirates have a chance to sweep the Dodgers. Orioles and Blue Jays are tied right now. Yankees are up on the Twins 4-1. Other games that already went final. The Cardinals beat the Astros today. Miles Michaelis was lifted early, but he got the job done. The Cardinals are now 2 games under 500. Crosstown showdown beginning right now. White Sox and Cubs down at Wrigley. The Cubs came back to win yesterday. See what the White Sox can do today in that quick little 2-game set. Other finals, the Reds came back to shock the Rockies in Coors. A grand slam late by Jonathan India put it out of reach. It was a classic Coors game. 12-7, the final, a six-run top of the ninth inning for the Cincinnati Reds. So let's go ahead and zoom and give the Pirates that game. Now, you never know, but let's go ahead and give the Pirates that game. They would be 29-32. The Reds are 29-33. The Cardinals are 29-31. You know what? Just for fun, let's just go ahead and say the Cubs lose. So they'll be 30-32. So the Brewers, they're still going to be at least five games up on the rest of the division, and they've lost three games in a row, and they're totally fine. There's no reason to panic, truly. I sit here. I'm very, very excited about what's to come for the Brewers. I still see reinforcements on the way. I would expect maybe on Friday it would be Tobias Myers. Saturday would be Freddy Peralta. And then TBD on Sunday, maybe you throw Bryce Wilson there in a traditional role, no opener, but all that remains to be seen. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Brewers Weekly. Again, that's at 8 o'clock, wherever you get your pods as well, at Brewers All Access. All right, my thanks to Greg Matzik yesterday for filling in. Appreciate him. As always, I'll be disappearing on Random Tuesdays the rest of the year. But my thanks to Max Meyerson, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.